Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Frank and Patsy podcast for Wednesday, April 15th, what is normally a date that lives in infamy for so many people every year. I'm your co-host, Patsy Zarella.
And I'm co-host Frank Nattel.
And Frank, we have some interesting people in this country. You know that?
Absolutely.
Just as I don't want to go off on a tangent quite yet. You know, if you listen to me every now and then, I get a little emotional about things. But we have a few people over in Lansing, Michigan, who decided that they're going to protest Governor Gretchen Whitmer's stay-at-home order, intended to fight off the coronavirus pandemic that we're in. People lining up, and I guess there's a quite a number. It's not, you know, about 100, 150 people, I guess, but several thousand cars were involved in this as well. The people walking around are holding up signs. Liberty once lost is lost forever. Security without liberty is called prison. Some other assholes calling for Whitmer to be recalled. I don't know how the hell that would work, but Frank, before we get into the craziness of this, of the idiocy or moronic, being moronic or whatever it is, I don't understand how people could be so naive as to see how many thousands of deaths, and these thousands of deaths happen every day, right? That number is growing every day. And even in places where it's starting to plateau, we talked about Ohio yesterday. I think it was after you got off the show yesterday. How do people not see this? Or they do see this, and they still think, you know what? My liberty is more important. I don't get the sense of stuff like this.
I mean, you know, boy, there's a lot loaded into that question, Patsy. There is a whole lot loaded into the whole intro and the question that you just posed. I can't remember who the woman was. The woman is, she's an actress, fairly famous. But early on in the whole pandemic process, she caught a lot of ire for saying something like that. She may be in the Avengers Marvel series. I can't remember for sure. But she talked about how she stays at home and takes care of her father, who's infirmed and compromised immunity and everything like that. But that she talked about how, you know, this was very, very early on, how liberty and the right to freedom and free movement is something that we have to guard very carefully. And, you know, a lot of people got pissed off at her for saying that because of the nature of this disease, which is novel to the, you know, human race. We've not dealt with this. We don't know. Early on, we didn't know how to, you know, create tests. We know we don't have any proven drugs to fight it. We don't have any immunization, no herd immunity, and no vaccines. You know, we know all that. So I wish I could remember the woman's name, but she wasn't like, you know, John Voight. She's not, you know, Miss Conservative America. So the thing about this is it's a very sensitive subject. I think we all care. And you said this before too on our show, that you don't like to be told what to do, and but you're going to use your common sense. And that's, I think that's the you know, when we were advised not to go out and we were advised to stay at home, people weren't listening. And, you know, then it became more of an order to stay at home. And it becomes difficult as Americans to process that. So I don't want to go too far into it, but I think that's part of it. The other part of it is that I don't think you or I, even though we stay up on things very, you know, carefully and try to parse through as much information as we can, I don't think even you and I know the extent of the conspiracy theories that are really catching fire within the communities of Trump fans that are out there. And not even Trump fans. I mean, there's just conspiracy theories running wild around the coronavirus and around the government's treatment around the coronavirus. And this comes back to what we talked about before on our video podcast, which is with no direct clear leadership, unified leadership from the national level, it leaves a vacuum and it lets people fill in the blanks and we create these backstories behind everything, and a lot of times it creates a dangerous narrative. So there's just so much loaded into that that I think that's part of the problem. And I just want to say one final thing in response to the whole, and I think we should talk more about Lansing, but one more final thing to the intro is I 100% support people's right to protest. I want that clear. You know, I don't fault anybody for protesting. I don't fault anybody for speaking their mind, for saying that they don't believe what the government is doing is appropriate. Everybody has that right in this country. And we should always treasure and cherish that right. And it should be the same as if everybody wanted to go down to the White House right now and say, we're going to blockade Trump into the White House until he starts telling the truth. Right?
Yes.
If we forced him to stay inside the White House and not leave and not do any pressers or anything like that until he starts telling the truth, we have a right to do that as Americans, whether there's a pandemic or not. So I think that, you know, we should always remember that. The other issue is, though, what are you accomplishing? What are you accomplishing at this moment? What are you doing? Your protest was intended to cause gridlock in a city that doesn't have any activity in it other than hospitals and necessary medical services that are going on. So that's the question that I have to ask the protesters is, what are you accomplishing? There's no government entities working from Lansing right now. The government entities are working from home.
One of the organizers, when Justin Habor said, this is a quote, this is our busiest time of year. Okay. I believe he's a member of the Michigan Conservative Coalition. Of course, conservatives, here we go. But he has said his family has been in business for four generations, and this order is financially crippling them on several fronts. They do landscaping, greenhouses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He said, again, quote, this is our busiest time of year. He drove to Lansing for the operation that they dubbed Operation Gridlock, and I think he had mentioned that, because the organizers say they wanted to gain attention by tying up traffic. And here's his quote, I'd rather die from the coronavirus than see a generational company be gone. Okay? So this Michigan Conservative Coalition is a nonprofit that organized the protest, who said that this should send a strong message to the governor that it's time to allow Michiganders to return to work in cases where they can do so safely. And they said safely. Where are they protesting, Frank? They're protesting in front of a fucking hospital.
Right.
Okay. So their outlook and their needs and their wants and their desires supersede the health and well-being of literally everybody else in that area. This is not a protest, okay? And I'm all for protests, right? I'm all for, you know, Molotov cocktail protests. I really am, okay? The more disruptive and the more things you can fuck up, the better. Okay, and as soon as you tell me I can protest, but I have to go protest over there, I'm getting 10 other people, I'm standing in front of you, and I'm pissing on your lawn while I protest.
Right, right. Okay, exactly.
But this was done intentionally in front of a hospital. Now, trust me when I tell you, Frank, I know we don't live anywhere near Michigan, but I'm willing to bet an obscene amount of money that a lot of the people going to that hospital, hell, most of the people going in and out of that hospital, are not there because of the pandemic. they're there because, I don't know, maybe they're, you know, in the middle of giving birth. Maybe their water broke. Maybe somebody fell and broke their leg. Maybe somebody's, you know, is having cardiac arrest. Maybe, you know, a little kid burned, grabbed a you know, put his hand on the stove.
They're worried about working, but yet they're going to prevent folks who have to get to and from work at the hospital.
They're preventing folks from healthcare, from being able to sustain themselves, from being able
exactly.
So my point is, exactly. This isn't a protest. Okay, if they worked at that hospital and they're on a picket line, or the hospital through some negligence, somebody died, or perceived negligence where somebody died, and they want to start protesting that hospital, okay, I can understand that. But this isn't that case. That's not what they're doing here. So they are holding people hostage. The state should not tolerate something like this. You want to protest, I get that. Go protest at the Capitol. You know, protest in front of the governor's house. You know, you want to slice his tires and throw things through his windows? Well, I may not support that. Actually, I'm with you. I get you. I'm backing you up. You asked me for money. I'm donating. But you do it in front of a hospital? Come on, man. You got some elderly lady that just fell and broke her hip, and she can't go to a hospital because you're pissed off about a governor closing things up because your business is going under. This, she's going to die. I'm sorry, man. You have to exercise responsibility whenever you're doing these things. You have to, and they absolutely chose quite possibly one of the worst places they could hold this protest.
I'll tell you, I agree with you, and I think what they're doing. I want to transpose this with a couple things. One is, I think they're doing it for the effect of there's clearly a war between Trump and Whitmer. You know, he calls her the woman from Michigan. He doesn't call her Governor Whitmer or anything like that. And he can't really take on the seven governors of the Northeast states or the three governors from the West Coast, but he can isolate and attack Governor Whitmer. And these are his minions doing his bidding. Okay, these are his little minions, the MAGA minions that are going to go out and try to intimidate Governor. That's what this is all about. It's not about a real civil rights protest saying that our civil liberties are being trampled upon. Because let's face it, anybody who wants to get in their car and go to the store can go to the store. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's bullshit. You can get in the car and go to the store. If you wanted to go work, my landscaper, my guy that cuts my grass, called the office of our local representative that goes to Harrisburg and said, am I allowed to cut people's lawns? Even though, you know, we have a lockdown order in Pennsylvania. And he was told, yes, you're allowed to do that. So, you know, this guy, I highly doubt his landscaping business was in jeopardy. I highly doubt it. I know it's Michigan. Michigan's different from Pennsylvania, but I seriously doubt he was in jeopardy. But let me say this. A few months ago, it was over, what was it, late last fall, I guess, there was a group of people, and I can't even remember what the protest was, but I know it was a liberal-based protest, and it occurred in New York City. People were laying down in the street. I can't remember what the reason was, but they were laying down in the street in New York City, and they were blocking traffic. And the conservatives and Fox News were going crazy because they were saying, this blocks the path of first responders getting to and from hospitals, from fire engines getting to and from places in Manhattan, and it's putting lives and safety at risk. And that was their argument as to why protests should be curbed. Protests should have their limits. Protests should not be allowed because you're getting in the way of first responders. You're getting in the way of people's lives. You're getting in the way of safety, health and safety. So, and I saw a bunch of people tweeting about that in the conservative Twitter verse as well. So again, you know, it's a balancing act for me to say, and what I just come back to is, what are you accomplishing? Mm-hmm. Tell me what your goal is. You know, you kind of said the same thing. Like, what is your goal? I'll support you if you say you want to send a message about civil liberties to the governor and say that you're infringing on our civil liberties. Because you're not allowing us to have freedom to do what? tell me. I mean, if it's that, and then you want to protest the governor's decision in some way that has a meaningful impact on the governor, not on people's lives that are, you know, need to get to and from that hospital to save their life. But you just made a great point. This is like holding a kid hostage and saying, I'm desperate. I want you to give me $1 million so that I can feed my family for the rest of my life, or I'm going to kill this kid, this random kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what they're doing. They're just taking random people hostage, their lives, their livelihood, their health. And they're saying, Governor Whitmer, you better listen to us, or else we're going to hold this hospital hostage and everybody that's reliant upon this hospital hostage. So it's really not a protest. It's really not an effective protest. Whereas the people who were just laying in the street, you could make that argument that yes, they are impeding potential first responders. I've been to Manhattan. I've driven through Manhattan many times. It's a pain in the ass no matter where you drive. But you put a siren on, people move out of the way. Okay. So I would suspect that argument there that Fox News was making about that other protest was specious. You're in the hospital are probably very late. Probably have to wait. Manhattan have 189 city blocks with crisscrossing traffic. So there's one or two ways in and out, I guarantee. And they're blocking them. They're blocking them completely.
Well, sure they are. Sure they are. I wonder. You know, you got a Republican and a conservative governor in Ohio. Are we seeing any of the protests there? I think I lost you, Frank. Anyhow, I'll carry on until we can get you back. You know, we're not seeing this type of behavior there. And believe me, they're crazy. I mean, the conservatives in Ohio are crazy. They're ridiculous how bad they are and how they're undermining everything. And you're not hearing that. You're not hearing that from them. Are you back?
Yes, I am, sir. I heard everything you said. You're right. Nothing in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Nothing in some of the other conservative and Republican-run states. Maryland is another one that acted early, and nobody's complaining about Governor Hogan shutting things down.
Right, but you're hearing it with these clowns. So and so, what is their argument going to be that this idiot's business is being hurt more than somebody else's is in a different state? You know that he's somehow taken a brunt and a burden on far more than people in other states are taking on. I mean, I don't get this clown's argument. If at face value, you know, taking what he said, why they're doing it, it doesn't make any sense to me. It truly does not make any sense to me. This clown is selfish. And he got a whole bunch of people who are equally as selfish or easily manipulated and gullible to join him. It's just that simple.
Well, and that leads to the other thing, which is, you know, on our Discord channel that we talk on every day, you know, one of our buddies and one of our people that joins us on a pod, on a daily pod, mentioned Lou Presner said, I can now see why Hitler was so successful, because you've got people that are just so willing to join in on something so senseless. And it is for specifically to try to intimidate and shut down somebody that is opposing, I wouldn't even say opposing, but has exercised their state's rights province, which may be not in line with what the president would wish you would do, but it's not the president's right to make the call about Michigan. Michigan's governor has that right to make the call about Michigan. With issues dealing with quarantine, public health and safety, that's Michigan's governor's province. And because the president doesn't like it, his minions, his followers, his cult followers are trying to do something about it for him. And that's where we are. And yes, I don't think we see it as widespread in places like Ohio and Maryland, and I don't think we will see it in places like Maryland for sure. Ohio, you know, I don't think we'll see it there either. But, you know, we may see it in places like Wyoming and Montana, if those places ever, you know, do lock down. I don't know if they ever will, but they'll try to do their, they'll make noise. You know, and I wonder how far it spreads and to what extent it manifests itself, because I don't think it's isolated to Michigan. I think that it goes back to what I was talking about before with a lot of the conspiracy theories. There are folks that think that, you know, that we're already at war, that this was an act of war, and it's being covered by the deep state, and it's being used by the deep state in some way to suppress, you know, Trump, to try to take down Trump, to prevent him from winning the election again. So, you know, I do see that there's going to be pockets of outbursts around the country. And I think it'll get a little worse before it gets better.
Yeah, I think you're right. I do. I think you're right. Just to throw a quick question out there for you, Frank, just simply your own opinion. For people who don't know, Governor Whitmer is both, and you know, there's a couple of strikes right away. She's both a female and a Democrat.
Right.
You think these clowns would be doing the same shit if there was a male Republican governor who had them on the stay-at-home order?
Hell no.
It's funny.
Hell to the no. Absolutely.
Funny how that works.
I mean, to the point that you just made, I mean, Ohio has a similar order in place, and Governor Mike DeWine is a male Republican, and it's the neighboring state to Michigan, and nobody's doing things like this. So, and you won't see it happen there, I don't think, either.
No, and believe it or not, I'm not a big fan of DeWine, but I've said, you know, on this, and I've said on our daily show that I thought he's really done a really good job handling all of this. So, you know, give credit where credit's due. I do.
Yeah. I think that, you know, we should transition to a couple things. One transition is the states' rights and what's going on with the states. And since we're in the Midwest, we talked a little bit on our visual pod about Wisconsin and how Wisconsin had the unintended consequence that the Supreme Court had said that you have to go take this primary and you have to vote. You can't vote by mail, postpone it and get all the votes by mail. And then what happened was a Democratic justice won in a surprise landslide over an incumbent Supreme Court justice, which is going to jeopardize Wisconsin for the GOP come November. That result will end up helping the Democrats sustain voters on the voter rolls who were in jeopardy of being removed, because there's a case that's pending in Wisconsin that was going to possibly remove 200,000 Democratic voters from the voter rolls. And now that this new justice will be the deciding vote on that. And I would bet a substantial amount of money, with bad odds in my favor against me, bad odds against me in terms of what I could win back. I'd be willing to risk that, that she will swing in favor of keeping those people on the voting rolls. Yeah. So states' rights are a funny thing. And I always come back to this. I may have told you this a year or two ago, that we as trial lawyers always say, ride the wild horses. You ride the wild horses that you're given. A lot of times you get something in a case and you look at it the first time you look at it and you say, damn, this is no good for our case. Why do I have to deal with this issue? And by the time you think about it three or four times through and you talk with your colleagues and your family about it, you try to think about, how can we take this wild horse and let it ride, let it run us into a position of strength as opposed to weakness? And that's what happened in Wisconsin. the GOP wanted to, they're throwing, unleashing their wild horses on the Dems and saying, we're going to wreak havoc on you. You can't postpone this election regardless of COVID-19. You can't vote by mail, regardless of the fact that we vote by mail in this country all the time. We're going to force you to deal with these wild horses. Well, the Dems jumped on the wild horses and they went to the polls in record numbers and they beat the shit out of the GOP. So, you know, in this situation, I think we've got to, you know, look at, there's a lot to shake out here. Today could be a moment of, well, it's a wake up call for everybody in America to see what's going on with these people who are trying to protest, cloak their movement in protest. But I think it opens up a can of worms for the GOP, because there's a lot of people in this country that are very pissed off at what has gone on for the last 3.5 years of the Trump presidency. And they've sat at home and not done anything about it. But now, like you talked about the other day, Patsy, last week, I think it was, about how the awareness has been rising in the American public, because now we're sitting home watching Trump every day on TV. People are sitting home watching him on TV. Now people don't have to go to the job every day. If the wild horses are unleashed in this country, you know, people could now go down and protest in DC, you know, when the pandemic lifts a little bit or whatever. I mean, if they feel like we have to do something about this, let's say they, you know, he does something stupid and fires Fauci, or let's say he calls the, calls everybody to go back to work, and substantial amount of people in America are like, listen, this is our health and safety. Well, now that these yahoos in Lansing have, without a real purpose, gone out and shut down the streets in gridlock, what is going to be their argument against everyday Americans going down and surrounding the White House and saying, Trump, resign? We will not leave the streets until you resign.
That's a damn good question, Frank. That's a damn good question. You know, I most people, and I really believe that most people are doing a pretty good job with this whole thing, and when they see the struggle that they have, and they see the idea of, I'll give you a great example. I have to take the temperature of everybody that works in our building. Okay, I'm designated for our building, and there's, you know, we have two other buildings, and there's somebody designated in each of those buildings. And yes, I was met with some resistance this morning. This morning was really the first time that we started doing it. We're probably a little late in it, but that's engineers for you. But most people were willing to that they complied, and you know, it's just a gun, right? You just, you know, aim it at their forehead and pull the trigger, and it tells you the person's temperature. It's not that big a deal. It's a second out of their day, literally, and I just look at it and say, okay, go ahead. But they see all these hoops that they have to jump through if they're lucky enough to be working. And then they see the struggles that they're going through and the excitement that's gone overwhelmingly in just about every social media platform that I'm on, because the $1,200 stimulus check started rolling up. $1,200, Frank. $1,200. Honest to God, we could blow that in a weekend. But $1,200, right? And people are thrilled to death over it.
Yeah.
They're getting, right? And that's not a criticism of the people getting it. It's just, this is what desperate times were in.
Yep.
So, you know, don't misunderstand me. I'm not blowing it off like it's a trivial amount of money.
I hear you.
You know.
I get you.
But then they turn on their television and they see what is becoming, you know, a pep rally instead of a COVID-19 update. When really the only update you're getting is from, you know, Governor Cuomo in New York. you're tuning in at 5 o'clock or whatever it is, and you're seeing what's turning, like we said, turning into a pep rally. And that disconnect is there, right? He said we have more tests than any country in the world. Well, if you take the number of tests that we have, and you compare that to the number of people we have, it's not 1%. It's not 1% of our population that is capable of being tested. If we use them all at 2 o'clock local time tomorrow afternoon, wherever you are, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, wherever you are in this country, we're going to use these tests. Less than 1% of us is tested. But he's telling everybody, oh, we can get any test we want, and, you know, we're doing this and we're doing that, and, you know, we're going back and forth. And that disconnect isn't there, is there, right? You say, no, wait a minute, that's not what I'm seeing. That's not what I'm feeling. That's not what I'm experiencing. Right? And I think you said it yesterday, how so many people were suckered in by him because he talked in the same language they did, which I thought was an absolute brilliant point. It doesn't look good for him. And you see these people who are getting pissed off and protesting now. And I'm curious, if you take the number of people that were doing this protest, and I have no idea what the numbers are, but I'm just making an observation. If you take the number of people who were protesting here today in Michigan, we had what? We'll say it topped out at 150. Somebody said walking, you know, they're on foot, and another 1,000 cars. So let's say two people to a car, right? Let's average two people to a car. So you got 2,000, you got 2,100 people. Well, in fact, we'll make it easy. We'll say 2,200, right? We'll throw another 50 people in just for round numbers. How many people do you think, and just hear me out before you answer me, live in that area, live in the area of Lansing, right? And that number of people who are doing the protest, the 2,200, do you think that ratio of people is close to the number of people who are Fox News watchers?
I would guess it's a pretty good correlation to the second part of the question.
I don't know the actual numbers. I'm just
I mean, I think it's a great point, and I think it's probably a pretty good correlation. I would be willing to guess that that probably, if I had to put a good number on it, I would say that at least half of the people of the 2,200 drove from 20 minutes away, somewhere in that radius. Mm-hmm. That they're not residents of Lansing, but that's the biggest city within 20 minutes of where they live.
And yeah, but it wasn't like they were traveling across the state either.
No. Yeah. I highly doubt. I would guess probably less than 5% of the people traveled from somewhere across the state.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. I would tend to agree with that. We had talked yesterday, and probably the day before, both days really, about Trump's numbers, his approval numbers, and we had said about how at any time that there is a crisis in the country, we always use 9/11 as the ultimate example, right? Because that's really the only thing that you know our generation has seen. But you can go back even further. You know, you can do even like more minor ones, the epidemics that Obama faced, the whole Reagan Berlin Wall. Right, you can go on and on. Kennedy's Bay of Pigs. You can pick pick any president you want. There was something. There always has been. There always will be. Most of these folks, people will rally behind them or around them, regardless of their political stature, whether they're their party, whether Democrat or Republican, it doesn't really matter. I've said a couple of times, you know, Bush after 9/11, his numbers were in the mid-90s percent-wise, approval rating. Not people who will vote for him, but approval rating. Obama's after one of the, he had two of them. He had two epidemics he had to navigate through. And I believe he was upper 80s, something like that, after both of them. Of course, those numbers will change, you know, the further away from the end of the problem you get, will to go back to normal. This clown with an entire network at his back is capping in the 40s, the mid 40s. This is where he's capping. This is the high watermark for him. At compared to Bush, right? That's a 50% difference. Obama's a, you know, 40-some percent, even 35%. I couldn't tell you what Reagan's was, but it was rather high. I would guess it's at least Obama's. None of this looks good for him. And he's not taking the advice of even the, you know, Ms. Lindsay's of the world who are telling him, you know, maybe he should just be on once a week. You know, he's capping in the mid-40s. I have to assume that no matter what he does, because before this pandemic, during this pandemic, I'm assuming, I'm taking a shot in the dark, granted, after this pandemic, this is still where he's gonna be. He doesn't get any higher, he doesn't get any lower. This doesn't present him his future in a positive light. And when you have the likes of Joe Biden, who is loved, I mean, you hear people bitching and complaining about him a lot, but for the most part, you're hearing it from younger white males who are bitching about him. Right? You don't see too many women bitching about him. You don't see too many minorities bitching about him. The majority of your electorate are minorities and women. I mean, that crosses party lines. I don't see how he navigates his way out of this without coming up with something that's going to be a scapegoat that has to be a home run for a scapegoat.
Well, he's certainly reaching around for them at this point. I mean, he's trying to scapegoat the WHO, which is an arm of the United Nations, which is one of his favorite whipping boys, right? So, as you know, Trump pulled this stunt last night by saying that we're cutting the funding to the WHO due to their inept response to the pandemic COVID-19. So that's who he's trying to scapegoat right now. What do you think about that?
I would actually watch the WHO pressers that they were having. Now, you know, you have your feed on YouTube, right? And it's all an algorithm based on what you watched before. So as soon as you start watching something out of your mind, flooded with everything. You know, for example, if I were to, most of my feed is politics or soccer, right? Pretty much it. Every now and then, and there's gaming thing because, you know, I mean, you and I are both FIFA addicts. So, you know, there's that whole scenario. But then you do something where you do like, the new iPhone came out. Let me see that review. And then the next thing you know, all you see are iPhone
right
in your feed, right? It's crazy. So I was following, I was getting the WHO ones. And then I apparently looked at something else that caught my interest. So now it's hard for me to find. Shows up sporadically now, and I'll be honest, Frank. I'm doing it from while I'm working, and I just want some noise going while I'm working because I'm in a room almost as big as my house. You've been in my house, and I'm the only, you know. So it you want noise. You want just because you go crazy, right? So I don't find it anymore. But whenever I would listen to what they were saying and what they were doing, I don't know who the president of the World Health Organization is, or the spokesman, or whoever this guy is. He's very blunt, and you can tell that he's not a politician, right? He doesn't speak political ease. He's very blunt and to the point. And I promise you, whenever he was stating things, and he would criticize things here and there, and he wouldn't call countries out by name, but you could tell who he was talking about, right? He threw Trump under the bus quite a few times. And like I said, he didn't say the United States by name. He didn't say the president or Trump by name. You follow along what we're doing, and then you hear WHO come up with a statement about something, and it's like the total opposite of what we're doing. It doesn't take a genius to do. So I think it was really, he didn't have to look far and wide to find something or somebody that would be a scapegoat for him, or what he would perceive to be a scapegoat. I think he wanted something. He found something to hold on to, and he's going to try to run this scapegoat for as long as he can. Until either something better comes along, or he sees that he's getting in.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, he also said, as part of his reasoning for cutting the funding, that they were too deferential to China.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about that is he was called out yesterday. We talked about this a little bit. We didn't go into a whole lot of detail. But we talked about Paula Reid calling him out yesterday, calling Trump out yesterday. But there were other folks that called him out about his, and it may have been Paula Reid or it may have been somebody else, but one of them called him out about how he was deferential to China. Early on, he said that China was transparent, and he tried to say in his presser the other day, I never talked about the transparency of China, and it's in one of his tweets, thank you to China, who's been very transparent on this whole pandemic thing. And that was back in January. You know, so the thing to me is this, it always comes down to this, the buck stops here. Harry S. Truman said, the buck stops here. On his desk, he pointed to his desk and said, the buck stops here. The president knew about this pandemic, okay? He's the one who said, I alone can save you. I alone can change this. I alone can make this right. You know, that was his thing during the campaign. He's smarter than the doctors. He's smarter than the generals. I know this stuff so well, maybe I should have been a doctor instead of running for president. Why did he need the WHO? Why was he relying on the WHO? If the WHO was too deferential to China, then why was he deferential to China? You know, he's the one that's telling everybody he alone can take care of everything. Why didn't he order everything to be done, all the supplies, the testing, everything that needed to be done? Why didn't he foresee that? You know, he's supposed to be smarter than everybody else. You know, he talks about how he closed our borders to China. He did not close our borders to China. There were flights coming in every day. That is a flat-out lie. There were flights coming in with people returning from China every day. After he said, okay, and same thing with Europe. They said he closed down travel from Europe. No, he closed down Europeans from entering the United States. But there were people who were in Europe that came back to the United States. So it makes no sense to say I closed our borders to this country. If people of the United States were in those countries and came back to our country without being screened properly, it's the same as somebody from that country coming here. It's the same. He just doesn't make any sense. So his you know, scapegoating of the WHO has no merit. It's just going to feed his base, because the WHO is this World Health Organization. It's something that goes back to the idea of some elite deep state, something that's out to get him. But it's another distraction. It's another thing that we talk about with him, is distractions. So it's a way for his base to point to something else and somebody else.
Distraction is going to carry some weight. Let me read from Politico. Trump halt to WHO funding violates same law as Ukraine aid freeze, House Democrats said. President Donald Trump's halt to World Health Organization funding is illegal and violates the same federal spending laws as the Ukraine aid freeze that partially prompted his impeachment, House Democrats said on Wednesday. Democrats said that Trump is breaking the law again, quote, in a desperate attempt to deflect blame. President Trump is violating the same spending laws that brought about his impeachment. This was a quote from Evan Hollander, a spokesperson for the House Appropriations Committee. The president does not have unilateral authority to withhold the United States' assessed contribution to the World Health Organization. Moreover, refusing to fund the WHO is a foolish step that only weakens international tools to fight this pandemic and future global health emergency. Yeah, this is going to go on for a little while because now he got the bite that he wanted. The House Democrats bit on it, and they weren't, I don't think, being stupid. I don't think they had much of a choice. But now this is going to start pulling headlines now. This is going to start pulling coverage time away from what he's doing or his lack of any kind of leadership at all with the virus here in the U.S. And you combine that with Cuomo, I believe today or yesterday, stating that he has no intention in arguing with Trump. He basically said he's going to ignore him. He just doesn't give a shit what Trump wants, thinks, or does. They're going to do things that, in his case, he's going to do things best in New York and the other governors that he's in touch with. This little group they have going, this little clique that they have, are just going to do whatever they can on their own, and they're not going to care anything about Trump. So he's going to get a lot of the coverage that he doesn't want gone, and the coverage that he wants, it seems like he's going to try to keep. And he did that, and that was the sole reason for cutting funding. This guy has to know that this was coming. He had to know it. And I you know, you and I both said it one right after the other 5 minutes ago. This was intentional. He did this on purpose to deflect. So here you go. He's going to get his wish.
Yep. I mean, he's got his finger on the pulse of that kind of thing, for sure. I mean, it's his MO, and it's worked for him to this point. So, you know, I think we have, it'll lead us into tomorrow for the video pod. We have some things to kind of reflect on. Where do we go from here in terms of the American public responding to, we're at a crossroads. I mean, whether we like to admit it or not, I think we've been at war. We've been at a psychological civil war in this country for a while now, where, you know, we've broken down into this, my side and their side, our side and their side, your side mm-hmm. and my side, you know, that's been where we've been, you know, probably since, geez, I don't know, three presidential cycles, maybe at least. And it just keeps getting worse and more divided. And now we're at this point where we're arguing amongst ourselves about, you know, a matter of serious public health and safety concerns and whether or not we should be listening to our government based upon political lines. Yep. And it's a dangerous place. And I, you know, I want to react, but I also want to sit back and watch before reacting too much. And it gives us a lot to kind of keep talking about as the days unfold.
Absolutely. Well, that couldn't have said it better. So with that, Frank, let's stick a fork in this thing. Anything you want to say before we cut the power on this and hope for a miracle?
I would say stay safe, be smart, listen, whatever side you are on personally, whatever, you know, wherever you fall in this whole range of political thought processes in our country, just be smart. You know, you can express yourself, and I want to encourage people to feel comfortable expressing themselves, but be smart. You know, there is a serious public health crisis going on. You know, take precautions. Don't stop taking precautions. Whichever, you know, side you believe in, still just take the precautions that you need to take. Mainly social distancing, washing your hands, covering your face with a mask if you have the ability to. don't visit elderly people in your life without, you know, taking those precautions. I have a very close person to me who I won't go into a lot of detail because, quite frankly, I don't want to out this person from their own political views. But this person provides a service to me on a regular basis, is a small business owner, is a huge MAGA supporter. I've thought about in the past not patronizing the person's business anymore because of that. But this person was a friend of mine and relies upon my business as a way to feed his family. And I just didn't feel it was right. And this person just lost his, I won't even go into too much more detail, but just lost two very, very close people and important people in his life to COVID-19 within the last few days. So it doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat, whether you love Trump or hate Trump. You just have to be careful. And that's all I'm asking of people. Just use common sense and be careful.
And to those folks who, you know, are buying into that whole idea of the clown, the quote I gave earlier, that he'd rather die than have his life. I promise you, you have people living in your own home who feel very differently about you than you do.
Yeah.
So take that into consideration. It's not always about you. With that said, Frank, great pod today as always. For everybody listening, just to let everybody know how we do this, you know, we're going to keep telling people for quite a while. Frank and I are audio pod Wednesdays. But Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, we have a gallery of folks. Frank and myself, a dear friend of ours, Lou Presner, Master Grant, who I do a podcast with on Sunday, Dr. Dye, Jorge's been on a couple times. We're still trying to get Phyllis on. She's avoiding us like the plague, I think. I'm just kidding.
We're gonna shame her into joining us.
Yeah, we're either gonna guilt her into it. We're gonna, you know, start planning things around her so she has to respond. It's gonna be something. We got to get her back on. But anyhow, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, we usually jump on around 5:30-ish, Frank, Eastern time. I think that's a pretty good. Our 15-minute video pod has yet to go 15 minutes. It goes 45 to almost an hour every day at 5:30. It was funny. My wife said, I thought that thing was always supposed to be 15 minutes. I said, honey, I have an attorney and a salesman on with me. Do you really think it's only going to last 15 minutes? Come on. You're kidding me, right?
My wife said the same thing. She goes, that thing hasn't lasted 15 minutes since you started it. Don't give me that.
I said, come on, are you kidding? There's no way. Anyhow, folks, you can find the video podcast or daily video podcast on YouTube, on Twitch, on Mixer, and on Periscope. So if you want us, you can find us. It's not very hard. It's not very hard to do at all. We're there. Like we like to say, we're like dog shit. We're everywhere. So until we meet again tomorrow, Frank, and to everyone, please come in and check out the video. If you like what you and like what you see, please support us on everywhere for us. God knows we can use the money. Like we like to say, you know, I don't care what you're making, can always use a little. But honestly, we do need it to keep this thing going because it does help pay for bills and make this thing a little easier to hear. Get some of our equipment better, and you know, things like that. So the more we can bring in, the better we can make this pod, and the nicer it's going to be for everybody. So until then, we'll see everybody tomorrow, God willing. Until then, goodbye, good luck, and God bless. We'll see everybody. Bye-bye.